Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio and How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. It's Thursday, September 10th at 3 p.m. Pacific time, and once again, we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, as I do every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific time. And I am still trying to squeak out one more week of summer as the temperatures here in Los Angeles are in the upper 90s to low 100s. It's amazing. It's truly an Indian summer. So my guest today is going to give us something to cool us down and make us deliciously delightful. I'm so looking forward to that. And speaking of delicious, we do have a very yummy show for you today. I don't know how many of you saw the movie Julie and Julia, but that movie made Julia Child a household name again. And after watching the movie, I came home to prepare a gourmet dinner for my husband. And believe me, Julia must have been watching over me, too. So if Julia Child had a third sister, my guest today would be that person. Pauline Perry is our guest today, and Pauline is founder of the Gala Award-winning Good Gracious Events, a leading event design, wedding consulting, and catering firm that she founded in 1988. And Pauline is widely known for her unique design and food presentations, her innovative planning and attention to detail. But not only that, Pauline is an author of a new cookbook called Food, Fun, Love, Party Styles. So please, give a delicious welcome to Pauline Perry. Hi, Pauline.
Oh, hello.
How are you?
Oh, I'm just like you said, I'm very hot. It is sticky, and it's nearly cocktail time.
It is cocktail time. Before we get started and share all the delicious stuff we have to do today, I want to give out a number for our listeners to call in, because you are very gracious to give out an autographed copy of your cookbook, Food, Fun, Love, Party Styles. So that lucky book will go to our fifth caller today. So listeners, you can call in at 347-857-2710. Once again, that number to call in is 347-857-2710. And not only can you call in to have an opportunity to win the cookbook, but to ask Pauline any questions that you might have. So, Pauline, good gracious. It's
you. Good gracious indeed.
It's me. So, you know, I just mentioned Julia Child and how she was an inspiration to so many people. And I guess the current Food Network would not have been what it is today if without Julia Child on some level. So who was your inspiration?
You know, Julia Child, obviously. I just think she's an amazing woman. I love her work. And I just love her character, actually. I just love her character. And I'm going to say the two words in the same sentence, Martha Stewart. You know, Martha Stewart, without a doubt, has given me inspiration, as she has to many people in this world, just for her presentation and enlighten us that, you know, we can go to another level of what we do. So both women are very inspirational to me.
Exactly, and I guess, you know, with Julia Child, she made French cooking more approachable and doable for, you know, the average person. And I know through your Good Gracious Events, you do the event planning, and you have someone else who does the cooking. So tell us a little bit about Good Gracious.
Well, let me tell you that Good Gracious, and yes, you know, as you may notice, I have a slight English accent. And as much as the English are known not for cooking, they actually do fabulous food. And we were very, very influenced by the French style of cooking. So, you know, and I think it was her that really opened up the English eyes to that French cooking. So we, in fact, were inspired by her right in the earlier days. And I think the English cooking really took her her lead and became great cooks themselves with their English twist. And Good Gracious has actually been in business for 24 years. And yes, I started the business from my home kitchen. 24 years later, I in fact run the business, I plan the parties, And we do have an excellent team of chefs in our kitchen that's actually led by my daughter, who I've actually been working together for 11 years. And her partner in crime is Margarita. Ooh, see, I'm getting all emotional. Margarita, who in fact has been with me for the full 24 years. And as a team, the two of them together just create absolutely fabulous food, and I'm very proud of them. Yeah.
And I know Joanne was one Chef of the Year, isn't that correct?
Yes, she did win Chef of the Year. The International Caterers Association honored her with that title, and she is Chef of the Year this year, so that was another great, great honor for us. And
now, you mentioned that you started your business in your own kitchen. What did somebody say to you, Pauline, you have such wonderful ideas, you're creative, why don't you start your own business? How did that all begin?
You know what, it was the American entrepreneurial spirit that did it. Always loved entertaining, always cooked, I have thousands of cookbooks, always taking the lead from cookbooks, doing my own spin on them, and I used to entertain a lot. I was newly married, and because I was from England, I actually was allowed to be here, but I didn't actually have a permit to work. My husband did. So I just became the perfect housewife. And so I would conjure up meals every day. I got to know people in the area. I'd invite them over for dinner. So my life was just the entertaining housewife. And the guests I had, they would all constantly say, oh, my God, Pauline, this is so good. You should do this as a living. And so I think I was at an age where I thought, you know what, why don't I do my own thing? And I did. I just got a business card, and I told people I was a caterer. And I completely illegally did it from my home base, which I stayed for about a year until someone gave me a job that was worthwhile that then jumped me into a commercial kitchen. So
that's wonderful. And you know what, in today's times when you go out to eat and you see the difference that the economy has made in going out to dinner, that people are now turning to cooking at home and inviting people over. And there's a whole new twist to entertaining at home, which I think is just
fabulous. I couldn't agree with you more. I think the biggest hobby is cooking at this moment in America. And, like I said, we do weddings, home entertainment, and everyone really just knows so much about it. But sometimes for the home entertaining, they will actually bring someone that's in like us so they can actually enjoy it in their own home. So, but yes, a home entertainment is really there. And but for larger parties at home, they do call on Good Gracious to help them out with that detail.
Well,
they're really very much part of planning that party also. I just take their lead and I try and interpret what they would like and how they would do it so that it becomes a joint effort. It's not all about me. I'm listening to what they would like.
I know. I was a very fortunate recipient. You had donated, I believe it was a dinner for eight to a charity event that my husband and I bid on, and we were lucky enough to win it. And you catered a dinner for eight at my home, and it was amazing. It was amazing. So I can say only firsthand, it's délicieuse. it was truly, truly delicious. And I know you have a special little drink to share with our listeners today called a sparkling limoncello martini. Ooh, that's
yes. Now, this was partly my inspiration, and the other part was actually a dear friend of mine, Jeanette, who has a beautiful home, and she has lots and lots and lots and lots of lemons in her home. And she was there one day thinking, what can I do with these lemons? And, we both enjoy life and entertaining, etc. And so she actually started making her own limoncello. And she actually goes through the process of making the limoncello. And what we did, we took that limoncello and we added a sparkling Prosecco, a sparkling wine of any kind. Prosecco seems to be the trendy beverage of sparkling wines this year. So we used a Prosecco, and then we used a little bit of lavender to garnish it, and a lemon slice, and it is absolutely delicious.
So
do you want to know how easy limoncello is to make?
Yes, that was my next question. How easy is it to make?
You know what? You just need plenty of 100% proof vodka.
Really?
100% proof of vodka. You peel the lemon, say you have two bottles of 750 millimeters of vodka. Take about 15 Myers lemons, or the lemons from your garden. I just picked on Myers. Because that's exactly what she uses. And you just take the peel off. You put the peel, not put in that white pith that's behind the peel. Keep as much of that away from the peel. Put it into the vodka. You seal it. And then you leave it at room temperature for about 2 weeks. After the 2 weeks, you make a simple syrup. Now, simple syrup is just made with 2 cups of water, 2 cups of sugar. You boil it and you reduce it by a third, which will give you some simple syrup. And then you add the simple syrup, you let it cool completely, then you pour that into the vodka, and then you take another bottle of vodka, and you pour that into it, and you again leave it for about 2 weeks at room temperature. And then when all that's done, you actually sieve it, take all the peel away, and then you put it into your own bottle. She actually puts it in a scotch bottle, believe it or not, because her husband drinks...
She hides it.
And she drinks limoncello. So she recycles her scotch bottles, which actually gives it a lot of character, and she's permanently got a bottle of limoncello in the freezer with her shot glasses. So when you go over to her home, you're not invited to a cup of tea, you're invited to a limoncello shot. And I just added the sparkling wine to it, which makes it really refreshing and obviously cuts down on the alcohol content in that. And it's just a so refreshing drink for these hot summer days.
Well, I'm so glad you brought one with you today to enjoy, because
I'll pour myself one right now.
I know. Let me join you, because it is a hot one. I need something to cool this thirst.
I know, but it's just delicious, and it's such an easy thing to do. So... you know, she's known for her limoncello. And actually, I've highlighted her recipe in my book also. And, you know, just for that little touch, put some lavender, a cute little skewer, and a lemon slice, because it's just delicious.
That sounds delicious. So now with that limoncello martini, one would hire Good Gracious to complement the cocktail.
Sorry, what do you mean by that?
Well, you need a good appetizers, a little finger food to. It doesn't take much to inspire a menu. So
you know what? It really doesn't. So this is very Italian inspired. So you just take some of those delicious, maybe a green olive tapenade. You know, that beautiful tomato, fresh basil, and garlic toppings, eggplants. You know, and actually, if you do your eggplants, you know, you can make a great caponata. Without using tons of oil, you know, you just braise it in some tomato juice so it's not just oily, which are absolutely fabulous with beautiful herb breadsticks or toasted, you know, ciabatta bread. And if you just have that with you and your martini and all those little dips, you know, you've got a meal in itself. Well, not quite a meal, but a really good start to an evening.
It sounds like a lovely place to get started. So now as I'm trying to... squeak out one more week of summer and fall, or autumn, I should say, is upon us. What are some of the new trends in food that are coming our way?
You know what, Lauren? You know, believe it or not, the comfort food trend is still with us, and it's really. But it's done in a lighter way, just like I talked about the eggplant caponata. You know, notoriously you think of eggplant just soaking up oils and oils and oils. You know, we're just finding alternative ways to go about it. The stews are coming into play. You know, the braised meats are coming into play. You know, I know we're still on the Italian trend here, but, you know, the panna cottas are still just a hot commodity, as you might say. Even doing, you know, mac and cheese, you know, we sort of end up doing them in little cupcake form, so it's a little bite for a meal. You know, turkeys, and people are still going for the turkeys, etc., but doing it with a scallopini style rather than that big turkey with the stuffing and gravy. You know, sliders, whether it's tuna sliders, all of those types of things are coming into the season.
That's great. So do you think because of where we are economically, Peter, people want to feel good in any form? So food is always a comfort, so usually people tend to go to the foods that make them feel better. So.
And, you know, obviously we're so fortunate here in California. Every day I wake up and I can assure you I do not miss that rain whatsoever. We have sunshine and sunshine and sunshine. But still, with all that sunshine, you know, we still want a little comfort that goes on in our lives.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and for us too, you know, we're fairly fortunate. I really do try and buy what we have. We are starting to think locally. We're buying local foods and the fruits, et cetera, just because it's a good thing to do.
Well, I think there's a whole movement out there. I believe it's called the slow food movement, where people like, I think Alice Waters up in the Bay Area, she is the woman behind Chez Panisse.
I know.
You know.
I believe my daughter Joanne, she actually graduated from the California Culinary Academy. And on her graduation dinner, we actually went to Alice Waters' place for that dinner that night. I know the kids weren't that impressed because they really wanted a Coca-Cola or something, and we only had grape juice at that time.
Exactly. But
their palates have matured a little bit more, and they're more appreciative of food, as you can imagine. But it was a wonderful experience for me when I went there, and she is too a great leader on that situation.
Yes,
I'll tell you what we do really good. That's one of our hot favorites is the French toast. We do little French toast cubes, and we scoop out a little hole, and we fill it with Nutella, and then we put a dollop of cream on the top, and it's just like a bite of heaven.
Wow. So is that an hors d'oeuvre for something, or a little sweet?
Yeah, that brunchy menu. And,
lovely.
And you know those nights of entertaining when you've sort of it's gone on a little bit late and you need like another party after the party? When you all then crave for that little sort of, you know, extra sweetness, little extra something. We serve it like a late night party with little chicken and waffles things and, you know, grilled sort of BLT paninis and things like that. Those are our late night foods after the party.
You know, I would never think that chicken and waffles would go together.
With a little rosemary maple syrup. It's cute and it's easy to eat and little after parties are sometimes a good thing to do as well.
I can smell that maple syrup right now.
And you know, we do things like grit sticks. You know, maybe wrap them in a little prosciutto and take a little tiny box, you know, and then drizzle them with a little, you know, aioli or something. You know, it's a late night snack. It's got the little comfort to it. And,
I love that.
I love that.
And I love that what you do with food. You know, for me, our five senses for me always are part of the eating experience, the presentation, the creativity of the food, and, of course, the taste. But when the eye sees it first, it can't help but say, come on down. It's going to be a great mix of so many wonderful flavors.
Well, you know, I can agree with you more. That to me, is the whole experience. You know, people constantly say, oh, what's your favorite food? What's this? What's that? And it's not. It's usually the complete package, you know, the taste of the food, the way it's presented, what music is playing, what the lighting's like, what the conversation is, you know, what wines are they serving, what beverages. It's a complete picture to me. And, you know, some people miss that beat. Of course the food's got to be great, but there is a complete picture of what makes it memorable to you.
In your 24 years of Good Gracious parties, events, can you share with us a story that, not on your part, but, you know, you do all you can to make the event a success. Do you have any funny stories you could share with us about your experiences?
You mean, Jen?
I mean, what?
Depending on what might have gone wrong, or that sort of righted itself, as you might.
Righted itself. Well, you know, in Julia Child, when she was on The French Chef, and she would flip an omelet or something, and it would, you know, it fell on the floor right in front of millions of people. She just picked it up and put it back in the pan. You know, waste not, want not.
And pour alcohol on it so everything's chilled.
There you go. There you go.
You know, let me just think. A quick story, you know. Put me on the spot here. It will come to me since I get off the phone.
It will come to you. Well, I know you always give attention to detail in all your events, so that there, in most things in life, things happen that, oh, you've run out of X, you've run out of Y, and that's why you're prepared, and someone can go get something. So when that time comes to have the event presented, it's as if nothing happened. But sometimes there are these wacky stories that are truer than life, that you couldn't make it up. It happened. You know, maybe the party
I just
never showed.
You know, you're right. You know, we are off-premise caterer. We work in garages, alleyways, tents, you know, in a field, etc. And, you know, we've got to make that, you know, situation. So we're pretty good at thinking off our feet when things go wrong and how you do it. And actually, it's just quite interesting. One of my first years, I participated in the Hollywood Charity Horse Show. And actually, I did it for about 3 years, and Bill Shatner heads that up. And I've not done one since 20 years ago. And actually, they're doing a 20th anniversary this year. And it was quite funny. They called me in. It's like, you know, full circle. They've forgotten all about me, but I was called in. But I've never forgotten one of those first years I did a three-day event, and one of the nights was a chicken pot pie that had gone sour on me. And it was immediately, you know, one of the people that worked with me said, oh, we can disguise this. We can put some lemon in it. We can put some parsley in it. And I tend to pace. I pace and I pace and I pace when I'm anxious and I have to make a solution. And the next night we were actually doing the gourmet sausages and beef tri-tips and things like that and grilled onions, etc. And in a moment I actually dumped all of that and arranged with my butcher to bring all that product to us, and we started again the party from scratch doing that product. And the next night we went back to the kitchen and we cooked a chicken pot pie that tasted good. And so that was a learning experience in itself, you know. So that was a little tough on us that night. But no one knew about it, and we were able to tell. You're being very humble, Lauren. I know you.
Well,
I must
say that George Foreman and I are very close.
But thank goodness you hire me every now and again.
I do. Hey, this is my... Okay, I'm sharing my secret tips with all our listeners. I know how to work smart. I hire people that make me look good and do something better than I can do. And you're one of them. So that's why I hire people like you, because you make me look good. Everybody wants to come back to a Lauren Leibowitz event, because they know that Pauline Perry is going to be involved in some form or another.
I want to tell you, you know, we talked about going into the autumn and winter. You know, soups are really big. People are even, you know, they're doing little trios of first courses or whatever, but soup is really high on the agenda. And little pies, you know, you take a flavor, you know, beef stroganoff, chicken curry, you know, something like that. And these are the comfort foods that are taking shape, you know. And so on a little, you know, first course, they do a little soup, they do a little pie, and they do a little salad. You know, that little comfort and flavors and textures. That sort of seems to be quite a lot of requests.
I'm a big, you know, if the weather does cool down, I enjoy soup in the winter, a hearty soup and a nice rustic bread, a hard bread or something.
I do, and you know what, I just want to say, you know, sometimes if they want to please me in my working environment here, they'll make soup, and they'll know that I will, well, that makes me really, really, really happy. Add that little, you know, the celery and the carrot and the shallots, not to dominate the flavor, and let that sweat as long as you can possibly do that, because that will be the flavor of your soup at the end of the day.
What do you explain to our viewers what you mean by sweat?
Well, so in other words, the juices and the waters that are in the ingredients, they in fact start to mull and mull and mull, and that's what makes it sweat. So you put just a tiny little bit of olive oil, and the natural juices from the product that's in there, whether it's from the little bit from the carrot, the celery, the shallot, or the butternut squash soup, or whatever you're using, will in fact bring out moisture. And it's that moisture that you just keep on a low heat, and it makes it sweat. So if you're making, say, 4 quarts of soup, you put your ingredients in, you might let it sweat for about 45 minutes to an hour before you add any waters or chicken broth, whatever flavors you're looking for at the end of the day to give you your volume. That's what you need to do. And it's a secret of making a great, great soup.
That sounds good. That sounds good. And I know we don't want to keep it a secret any longer, where people can get your book, Food, Fun, Love, Party Styles. Where can our listeners get your buy your book?
You can actually go to Amazon.com, and it's called Food, Fun, Love, not and love, love. And I actually have a website, foodfunlove.com.
That's terrific. I can't believe, Pauline, 30 minutes flew by.
Oh, my
Before
gosh.
I go, I want to thank you so much for sharing 30
Thanks
delicious
so,
minutes with us and that sparkling limoncello martini. And if you would like to contact Pauline, you can contact Pauline by email at pauline@goodgraciousevents.com. And I hope you'll all join me next Thursday, September 17th at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, when my guest will be Todd Weinberger, Creative Director of Inked Magazine. So, again, Pauline, thank you so
thank
very
you,
much.
Thank you, Lauren.
And everyone, I hope I'll see you next time on the radio, and we'll come up with some other delicious guests, some topics, and don't forget to try on a new pair of shoes. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.